Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you're having a great day. I am having a great day. I'm also very happy it's Friday. And what's today? Actually, it's Masters Day, which is very exciting. I loved watching golf. But anyway, it's Friday, April 11th, 2008. And I'm very happy to be here. I'm supposed to be interviewing Joe Marchese, who's with a company called Social Vibe. But so far he hasn't called. So, Joe, if you are intending on calling into the show, please do. And the number to call in is, let me just see where that is, 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. Most of you that are familiar with Alan Levy, me, I'm the CEO and founder of the company. And it has been a tremendous ride. What can I say? I mean, it's just constantly moving forward in many, many directions. We're very excited about what's happening. So if Joe doesn't call in, I'd love to take calls from anybody calling. Well, maybe we do have Joe on here. Let's see. First, we'll try one call's got no description, but let's see if there's someone there on that line. Hello. Hi, you're on with Alan Levy. Hello?
That would probably be me. My name is Chris Dockery. I'm the COO of KSP Success Radio.
Okay.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. You waiting for Joe?
Yeah. What can I do for you?
Have a good show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's all you can do for me, buddy. I'd like to hear more about Social Vibe and...
Okay, I think we have another caller, so let's see and listen in. And are you going to listen in via the phone?
Yeah, probably, because the chat room is not working. And
I'm opening that up now, so we'll open that up now. Let's see, Joe's on. Let's see. Joe?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, is this Joe? How are you?
Yes, it is. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hi, good. Well, welcome to the show. I didn't, we're rescheduling back and forth, but great. And where are you calling it from?
I'm out in L.A., actually. We're in West Hollywood up on Sunset.
Oh, great. I was there last year at the hotel. I was at the Roosevelt, Hotel Roosevelt.
Okay. Yeah, that's over in Hollywood, right across from Grauman's. Yeah, we're down other side of West Hollywood near Beverly Hills. I'm actually looking out. It's like 90 degrees outside today, so pretty good day.
That is pretty good. Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I know that you've been chatting with Amy Domestico, and tell you a little about letting you know who Blog Talk Radio is, and so that's pretty cool. But let's talk about your place, Social. It's a Social Vibe, right?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, so can you describe what Social Vibe is?
Sure. So Social Vibe is a platform that allows brands to connect with people, or probably more accurately put, allows people to connect with the brands they want to connect with, and helps to raise money for charities by doing so. So the big question for a lot of brands today is, you know, how can I reach out and in an appropriate manner connect with the people who are in social media who are attracting so much of their peers' attentions, and who are the real stars? I mean, Social Vibe is really just made up of, and all we are is our members. So what we did is we created a platform that could actually deliver benefit to those members. The hardest part about that was that it really was very hard to figure out, well, when you do a celebrity endorsement, a brand can go to a Tom Cruise and say, we'll pay you X amount of money if you take this brand and walk around town, take it with you wherever you go, right? To do that in the new media where there's thousands of stars out there or hundreds of thousands or millions of stars is really difficult because you can't do each one of those deals custom. So we created a platform where people could come, get sponsored by a brand, and then we'd filter the benefit to the charity of their choice. basically they're the ones that are delivering for the brands.
Oh, I see. That's a fascinating niche you're fulfilling there. And when did you launch it?
So we actually have been in a closed beta for only maybe 3 to 6 months. I actually don't have a date. But we had our launch party last week and started off actually the 27th. And then now we're going to go into more of an open beta period in the next couple of months. You'll start hearing a lot more about us.
And do you have a certain number of celebrities that you have available that are participating in these different charities and causes?
Yeah, so we have a couple that we haven't announced yet, but you can go take a look at the pictures from the event. Mina Savari showed up for that, which was great. She just became the chair of Annuity. We also have a lot of online celebrities, right? Some of these new age celebrities, the ones that have millions of friends and, you know, get millions of YouTube views and people like that. And then as we move forward, being here in Hollywood, it's kind of nice for reaching out to the celebrity community because they have throngs of fans that want to support causes and want to support charities but don't have the money to reach into their own pocket to do it. So what they can do is log on to Social Vibe, you know, get a brand sponsor, and then have those brands writing checks to the causes that they care about.
Right, so the celebrities are drawing attention to bringing in people to get focused, to bring in the eyeballs that would be interesting for the brands as well.
Exactly.
Very interesting. We just recently had some conversations with an ad agency on this exact type thing, with using celebrities and brands and causes together. It's fascinating. It's just amazing that you've launched this, and this is exactly what the conversations were taking place just this past week in New York City.
Yeah, and the really interesting thing about, you know, Social Vibe and what it is, and I said it once already, is that it really is, it's our members that drove us to where we are. It's the people that are inside of Social Vibe. When we first launched, it was quite simply, we said, all right, well, if they pick the brand, they get the benefit, right? But what is that benefit going to be? And it was the members who really drove and gravitated towards, hey, can we band together and raise money for a charity? And it becomes very powerful when you see tens of thousands of people all working at these great charities like Surfrider Foundation, who our launch party benefited, raising thousands of dollars, just ordinary people, for doing things they did already, associating themselves with brands, sharing brands. These are things that they want to do, and they can do it in an appropriate manner. So our website grew and Social Hub grew as people told us what they loved about it and what they liked. And, you know, we think we're only at the tip right now. We listen to everything that they tell us. We CC the whole company on feedback emails. We can, you know, take that to heart and figure out what we're adding next to Social Hub.
Right. Yeah, that's great. How'd you get into this? I mean, and in terms of, you know, this is just a great call, great approach to giving and creating so many more opportunities for people that need you know, access to money and so on.
Well, like I said, I mean, I wish I could say, you know, it was sitting in a dark room someplace and I had this brilliant idea that lit up the room. I actually, co-founders of the company, Brandon Mills and David Levy. To be honest, it was just a patent and a PowerPoint early on, and it had charities involved, but it wasn't the focus. It wasn't where we were. It was the members that drove us to where we are today. But really just started out looking at the advertising landscape and realizing what was missing, that there was big gaps. And, you know, I come from consulting before this and before that, Monster.com in the 2000 days. So got a real good taste of what was going on with something like a job board like Monster and watching it grow. And so when we looked at this, we just said that brand advertising isn't going to behave like performance advertising. There isn't going to be clicks. So performance of a brand advertising campaign is how many people were willing to self-associate with your brand, not how many people clicked on your end asset. So success is measured much differently. So your job as a brand manager, and this was our view of the world and why the product evolved the way it did, your job as a brand manager now is not only to sell something to the public, but to start talking to them, put assets out there, see how many people are willing to associate. And if not enough people are willing to associate to spread your message, tweak your message, you know, adjust the focus, you know, you can even go back as far as adjusting the product. Like, advertising is no longer the end of the process. So you advertise to hope to sell. Advertising and marketing now is part of your product development process. You can watch as people decide to associate with your brand or not associate with your brand, and use that information to make a better product.
So how do you measure, and I fully agree with you, because that's some one of the things that we're dealing with, you know, we're working through here at Blog Talk Radio. We launched our site, and we produced 75,000 almost broadcasts, and we have everyone on, like the Pentagon, Intel, Sun Microsystems, and just thousands and thousands of people doing broadcasts. And many companies are now interested in stations. We've created these radio stations for companies so they can be part
right.
of the conversation. And the question is, well, how do you measure ROI? But there's so much branding that's going on, and they're part of the conversation. So how do you, you know, what are the brands, what do you tell the brands when they're asked, if they're not focused on clicks, because, you know, perhaps maybe
right.
I mean, that's not the focus, and it is brand, how do you give them that comfort on the ROI?
Right. Yeah, that's the I'd say it's the $1 million question, but it's, you know, it's the $76 billion question.
Yeah, right.
You know, one of the estimates on what's spent on television, right? How do you judge ROI? And the answer is twofold. So there are things that you can do differently in social media to measure ROI on brand initiatives that you couldn't do offline. But you could do it just in less of a scale, which is see what people think of your brand before you run a campaign, and see what people think of your brand after you run a campaign. Now, that's we're not reinventing the wheel here. That's exactly how it's always been done, right? Except for you've had to go do focus groups and testing, and it wasn't scalable. With social media, and we are doing this right now with some of the brands we're working with, there'll be some great studies released in the next month, so we can actually show you the delta in what your brand perception was, intent to purchase, you know, how much the person perceived your brand in alignment with what your goals are before a campaign and after a campaign, right? For people that were exposed to the brand as their sponsor, as the brand they chose, and for people that were exposed to people's pages that had the brand on it. So you can actually measure those differences. Now, that is the same way it's always been done, right? Only using social media, I can get 10,000 people to respond to that, what they thought before and after, as long as you're giving them benefit for their time and attention. I mean, it's just a marketplace for exchange and value.
Is it limited to the largest websites, you know, that have all the traffic? In other words, how does a small publisher, you know, be able to move the dial at any way in terms
right.
of your measurement of ROI? I mean, even
well,
your site, it's a brand new site, it's a beta.
Right.
How much traffic are you garnering, I mean, on your site? And, I mean, not
right.
that you have to disclose that, but, you know, there's this huge gap between gazillions of eyeballs and,
yep.
you know, 20 million page views a month to a million page views, you know?
Right. And that's, you know, being part of the larger is definitely something that's important, right? And what you can do is you can measure the effect you have, and, you know, that's the influence metric. You know, I wrote an article a while back, and then I did another one this past week on return on influence, right, being the new ROI. So if Blog Talk Radio has a certain amount of influence over people, right, it's really figuring out how do you quantify that? How do you put that in a package and say this is X amount of value? And the hardest part is that it's not worth the same to all brands, right? Your influence that Blog Talk has over people who listen as an authority, as quality content, isn't worth the exact same thing to Nike as it is to Sun Microsystems. And even inside the same category, it's probably not worth the same to Nike as it is to Reebok, depending on what their brand initiatives are. So it's not a nice, clean interface where you just package it and sell it. That said, there's a lot that you can do. You don't have to do a pre- and post-test every time. You look at what your ability is to influence, you know, and then the rest is up to, I read it somewhere, and I'm blanking on who said it, but, you know, like, advertising is about reaggregating fragmented media, right? So it is a piece of a larger media buy, and that's the role of the media buyers going forward, and why it's going to be even more important that they can bring together lots of places where influence lies, that is going to be the kind of influence their brand needs, and pull it all together. Now, for Social Vibe, we can measure a lot more than the pre-perception of brand and the post-perception of brand as your delta. That's the value, because you don't go end up and buy a Coca-Cola online. You walk in your supermarket and you buy a Coke instead of Pepsi for reasons that, you know, people are still studying. But you can also look at people's explicit actions. And so when I started to talk earlier about did people associate with your brand willingly, right, that's a metric that was never given for television, right? So it's a very interesting situation where your method of distribution is also your target market, right? So easy example, a big brand could go to NBC and say, I want 1 million eyeballs, right? And you could say, all right, you're going to get 1 million eyeballs. NBC doesn't care what your content is, and they don't care what your brand is. That's not true. It has to be PG or PG-13. But they're not making a choice to show it or not show it based on how they feel about it, right? So you don't learn anything. All the value comes out of your distribution. In social media, the fact that the people you need to share your message to get that same million eyeballs, to get that distribution, the people that are going to do that for you are the people that are in your target market. Those are the individuals who are, you know, love your brand, are loyal to your brand, or would be loyal to your brand if you exchanged the right value to them, if you gave them a great piece of artwork for their MySpace or Facebook or whatever page they put it up on, their personal blog. If you, you know, gave them a chance at winning something, if you donated to their charity, you know, these are all things that we look at as how you exchange value. And then what you get to look at is you get to say, all right, not only did I get the distribution, but I know more males were attracted to my brand than females, more 18 to 24-year-olds liked my brand than 24 to 35-year-olds. All that data never existed in the old advertising value chain. You had to do a separate study to do that, right? Now it all comes in one, and it's very interesting how that all gets packaged and rolled up.
How much time? It's fascinating, and it sounds like you really have your finger on the pulse of it. And I'm dealing with speaking with companies all the time, major companies about social media and Blog Talk Radio, and how to we explain what we're doing here. You know, in terms of this platform where people can host their own talk shows and then use a phone to create a podcast, in essence, right? That's what Facebook Radio does, and it's a totally different platform. Lots of engagement going on. But I find that the companies that we're dealing with, and even some of the agencies, which are some of the largest in the world, are really still trying to figure out how to get their company's engagement online. Their clients or the companies themselves are really looking to build community and engagement, and they don't want to necessarily go to Facebook and create a Facebook page, which yields very little and drives traffic away from them. So
right.
What do you suggest the company, enterprise or companies do in terms of building community? And
you know, that's a good question because, you know, there's a great conference that's coming up that's run by John Battelle, who I respect very much, and I'd attribute a lot of what I learned early on that got me going in this field to, you know, reading a lot of his work, but called Conversational Marketing Summit. I think the name's right. And they talk a lot about how you build communities around your brand and so forth. My
when
personal,
is that, by the way? Where is
I
when
don't
is
have a date, but I'll tell you what. I'll send it over to you so you can let your companies know about it.
I may want to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send it over to you, and I'll send you an intro so you can get hooked up. But my mind, there's two issues, right? The first is building a community. The first thing you have to do is figure out what value you're adding to the community, right? But you can't just build a community and have people talk about your brand, right? You have to do something that actually adds value. So Nike has an expertise in running shoes. So they said, all right, we'll build a community not around Nike, but we're going to build the community around running. And we're going to add value to that community because we have scientists and research and, you know, we can aggregate. We know what runners like to do. We've added value. No. So how have you added value? That's the first thing. And then you have a community. Then you put the proper tool sets in place. And there are a lot of great companies out there that can put the proper tools in place. By tools, I mean the blog and then the ability to create profiles and the ability to, you know, friend, whatever it might be, just so that the community can kind of become a perpetual motion machine. That's your goal for social media. The hidden secret of the perpetual motion machine, quote-unquote, is that you have to constantly feeding it fuel. If you build a community, and even if it's healthy, and you walk away from it and you stop being that value-add outlet for it, If you pull it, the community will die. I mean, until it hits some critical mass, and it's the MySpace, Facebook. And if you don't think they're spending a lot of money to maintain their communities, you know, you're kidding yourself. So marketers have to be prepared for that. That's the first step. Then I have a major issue with everybody creating their own communities, because I, as a human being, have a lot of interests and a lot of passions, right? I might run. I wish I did. I don't do that enough. But, you know, I might box, so I might want to go join a boxing community. Right? I might like this kind of music, and I'll go do that. And I travel all the time, and I'm really big into what's going on in politics and journalism. It's a passion of mine. If I can get away from the digital media pubs for a while, that's what I'll be reading, you know? I can't join all of those separate communities. I'm one person who's interested in all of those things. So it's very difficult for these brands. There's value in having their own community, but they have to go out to where people are. So in a standard definition of social media that I always like to use as a baseline, social media is a digital representation of the real world. If all you did for your engagement or for your online marketing and social media was to create your own community that people could come to, that would be like in the real world. I don't know how many people are familiar with Legoland. It's right outside of San Diego, down here in Southern California.
Yeah, in London, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be as if in the real world, all you did was you had Legoland. Lego didn't advertise on TV or in billboards in where you were. You had to come to Legoland, and that's great because then you have a fully engaging experience, but you have to require everyone to come to you, right, which takes effort on their part. And it's only one piece of what I want to do. It's not what I want to do all the time, right? So I can't maintain all of those. And then you have a lot of dead accounts because someone was passionate about it on Tuesday, but on Thursday they care about this a little more, and maybe next month they'll be back to caring about Legos again. In the meantime, it's dead profile, and nothing kills a community faster than when there's no communication or interaction. So I think it's a double-edged sword. I think I see the creation of social networks as being scary, very, very scary, much of parallels, 99 with every company needed a website where, you know, they could do e-retailing, right? Oh, we have to have a website up, and we have to have this, and that's our marketing. And huge budgets went into it. But then you realize everybody had to be coming to your website in order to value it and reading everything you did, instead of the same approach of distributing out to where you're going. It's kind of like that now. Everyone needs to have their own community, and there's immense amounts of value in that, but you have to realize that people want to be a lot of different places.
Right, that's true. So since I have you on the phone, first of all, we're speaking with Joe Marchese, and I have to say I'm so happy that you're on because you're very knowledgeable, and you can call in with a question. We have a chat room going too, which is on the site, 347-677-0649. And so with Blog Talk Radio, we launched the site about a year ago, and since I have you on the phone, I can kind of get you like a consultant. It's probably not bad. You're on the phone. So this is what you've said is really supports what we've done. So I launched the site in the fall of 2006. We put the three words together, blog, talk, and radio, and I wanted to create a platform where people could host their own radio shows or create an audio blog. But we had no way of getting this brand out, right? There was just no one. You know, I opened up a new site. I had no experience in this area. My background was in telecom. We didn't know anyone. And we were the first people to do this, you know, to kind of create this platform where multiple people could be on the line at the same time, unlimited people could listen live, and then there's an archive done with an RSS feed, so you go from broadcast to podcast. I felt that by providing these tools to individuals and anybody, really, they would come to our site to do a live broadcast, be part of our program guide, be part of the distribution network, but also they would have these tools to use. That rather than create a podcast using a device or some sort of piece of equipment with mixing, they wouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff. All you have to do is pick up the phone. There's no download or anything. So by adding value to the community, by adding value to the users kept coming back, and then they would tell their friends, "Hey, I'm doing a Blog Talk Radio show. Please join me Tuesday night." And it started out literally. I was the only host, and now we produced 10,000 broadcasts in March. So what's happened is that with no marketing money spent, our hundred, we've, you know, you Google blog search us, there's 150,000 reference points on blog posts in Google for Blog Talk, because our hosts are out there promoting their shows, and they have the widget on their player on their website, so people can listen to the archive there. It's fed into iTunes or whatever RSS feed they want. But what I've been focusing on now is that now that we've got this community that's in here, we've built a social community, without the network delivering the content, as me as the network provider. So if you look at the best of Blog Talk Radio, there's John McCain and Brad Pitt and Yoko Ono and you know, all these famous authors and technology people coming in because the community has the tools now to bring them, to reach them. They have their own radio shows. Take it one step further, corporations are looking to us and our network now to reach our network and community. How can Random House or publishers reach a group of people?
Right.
And so that's where this is evolving in terms of having a station or having a network be able to be built as part of the social communities. But I think the point that I wanted to really make is that the only way we would have been successful is if we were able to add value to the end user. And in our case, it was that we give everyone the ability to create content very easily and distribute content and ultimately monetize it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's huge. And, you know, if we were doing the consulting hat for 2 seconds, it would be, you know, the next step is to figure out how. So you have a community. We're the hugest proponents of choice at Social Vibe, right? I can't reiterate enough, our members drove our entire site. They ask us which brands they want to have on there. They start requesting brands. You know, if we can't get it right away, we tell them to email the brands. Like, they have that ability. You know, I look at Blog Talk Radio, and you say you're doing 10,000 a month, and you have all these people doing this. Give them choice. So what you'd want to do as you grow as a network is create almost a database, but it's access to kind of a menu of brand sponsors, right, that want to be on there. So you as a point or your sales team or whoever you're working with, going out there and getting brands that say, I would love to be worked into different podcasts, like things that normally don't seem to scale. And then you put it out there to your community as a choice, right? You can take Nike into your podcast, and you know it's worth X if you have X number of listeners, right? So what you've done is you've now added another layer of value to your community. They couldn't go get the brands on their own, right?
Right.
But if you create a catalog for them to choose from, they can then bring those into their content, and it's choice driven. It's not you selling against that, right?
Right.
And create the monetization and revenue share.
So I have, you know, 300 sports shows, right? And I have thousands of shows on entertainment. So if New Line Cinema wants to come in and promote the next J-Lo movie, boom, I could blast it out and put inserts into all of my archives. We had 2.7 million listeners, or 2.6 million listeners in the month of March. So the question is, for a company like Blog Talk Radio, and even a smaller company, I mean, obviously you have a huge amount of experience and relationship with brands, but how does a brand get to know, say, I want to be associated with Blog Talk Radio. I want to be one of these companies. And I do think there are huge opportunities for these people to really be part of the conversation with a network with us. But how do we do that? How does one accomplish that?
You know, that's for sales guys. That's another one of those big questions. I mean, there's not one way. I mean, I'd say that the agencies hold the keys to doing that. And even if you connect with a brand, they're gonna refer you to the agency in a lot of ways, and it's good, because the truth is, so there's Blog Talk Radio, and then there's a lot of other things that they need to consider, and they need to stack all those up and weigh their options and say, who's going to make it easy for me to do, because I do have a lot of things to do, and it's a brave new world out there in social media. So how can we make it easy? And that's something we've learned very much here at Social Lab as well, which is, how do we make it as easy as possible for the brands, even in a world that isn't plug and play? It just doesn't work that way. How do we make it plug and play for them, and we'll do the legwork, and they'll realize that if they want to get a better campaign, you know, they can put more into it. So that's the first step, reaching out to the agencies. A lot of them have divisions that, you know, if it's the first time they've ever done it, like, these are the guys that are supposed to test it, measure it against other objectives, say that this is something that we want to build in, and then getting it to be a line item in their budget. Because it's really, it doesn't, like, anyone can get experimental budget. It's the question of when you get built in so that every time there's a, every time there's something coming up, they know there's six things they do every time. You just want to be one of those.
Right.
And that all comes down to how easy you make it and how you package and show the return. And that's the most important part. So
we have a caller, 215. You're on Block Talk.
Hey, Alan, it's Frank.
Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Meet Joe.
Joe, nice to meet you, and great listening to you. It's great to hear you a lot of your insights.
Thanks, Frank.
So Frank is the director of advertising sales at Block Talk Radio. So he's out there going out and meeting with the companies with me and. So he, I guess you have a question for Joe, and we're learning lots of things today.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joe, I got to say, a lot of what you just hit on is what Alan and I talk about on a daily basis. I mean, you know, getting to these decision makers, be it at the brands themselves or at the agencies, and introducing them to something new, getting them to be on a line item is something that Alan's heard me say a lot, and trying to get to that level. And also making it easy for someone. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, I understand what you're saying, that in order to make it easy, a lot of people go to what they're already familiar with. And when you're an emerging
right.
platform, they're not familiar with you, obviously, by definition. So
right.
what are some of the ways that Blog Talk Radio or, you know, another emerging platform, you know, with some of the other people listening, some of the hosts that may have sellable opportunities, how do you make it easy for them when it's an unknown, when it's
right.
unknown?
You know, the best way to think about it is, for me, is like math, right? You have to bring it down to a common denominator. So we struggle with this at Social Vibe a lot, right? A brand can go and buy, and this is what they buy on. They have, like, whether it's the brand or the agency, they have Excel spreadsheets, and they see how many impressions they got for dollars and then clicks and so forth. And then when you're not doing that, it doesn't necessarily mesh up. I have a huge issue with impressions being the currency of the Internet, because I can go buy a billion impressions from particular ad networks and I have no clue what it did for my brand. But if you're going to compare that to something that actually provides brand lift, you know, it doesn't. They just don't match up apples to apples. You know, I'd take 10,000 human beings influencing 50 of their friends over a billion impressions any day of the week, because I have no clue what that billion impressions does, which is why impressions and CPM buys alone don't make a campaign, right? They look and say, well, how many clicks did that generate? And then those clicks generated how much engagement. But in order to play in the world of making it easy for them, how do you reduce what you are offering to that type of level? So let me use an example that probably is way off, but don't worry about the numbers. So let's say that you have a podcast that, you know, if the host mentions the brand during it, or, you know, does a little product integration into, you know, talking about something, that's probably, you know, and but they only have maybe 5,000 listeners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a brand might look at that and say, okay, that's 5,000 impressions, and they're audio impressions, so let's say we compare that to video, so that's a good CPM rate, maybe it's $20-$30 CPM rates. That's not very good, you know, that's not what it's actually worth, because now you're still comparing it to impressions.
Right.
But if you can say, well, the brand lift that you get with 5,000 people on this show is equal to the brand lift that it would require you to get 50,000 impressions or 100,000 impressions online without association. Now you can say, okay, those 100,000 impressions at $20 CPMs would cost you this. That's what you can get here, right? Because, you know, a certain percentage of marketing budget is wasted, and how many impressions go on scene and so forth. So even though it's not the best way to do it, because you don't want to be comparing yourself to it, it's an easier way for them to say, this was equal to an equivalent. Everything comes back to an eCPM, right? It would have taken us X number of impressions to get the same brand lift of 5,000 people through another medium.
How do
so
you measure
that
the
makes
brand
it easy.
Lift? So how do you measure the influence? Do you actually go to companies and do that? Help
we,
them measure
We do
influence?
Do some. Yeah, so we do here. There's a great company called Marketing Evolution, which does studies of pre and post, and that's what we do. It's really up to the, and that's why the sale is half art, where the other half science, because the brand lift is being able to communicate to someone else the value of your medium, right? No one knows how valuable Blog Talk Radio is except for you and the people that are actually doing it. They know the amount of influence they have over the people that are in there, right? So Your ability to quantify that, whether you have to do a study, whether you have to show case studies of, you know, an effective reports, right, and say, this is, we can support that this is worth X, right? To us, it's different, because for Social Vibe, it's up to the members. The members determine, hey, you know, and when I bring this on my page, you know, the brands will start to say, God, I'd really like to be there. I'd pay a dollar more than the last person, and really make it a marketplace. But it's up to the person who is running the medium to be able to define the value of their medium in terms that other people can understand.
Right, and how do you measure a conversation? How do you measure engagement?
Right.
Sort of goes back to that.
Exactly. And I mean, it's you know, it's not a new problem. I mean, how did you measure, you know, the effectiveness of television advertising, radio advertising? You know, it's, the problem is, because it's online and it's new media, social media, then it's held to a different standard, which is good and bad. It's bad because, you know, you could deliver the same value as radio and television, but radio and television requires some pretty intricate sales, and, you know, a lot of handshakes and a lot of, you know, feeling comfortable with. That doesn't feel the same online.
Right.
But it's good, because you can actually start to reduce things to, here's the number of people we reached, and then, you know, there's actionable data that you can take on the next steps.
I mean, we know here at Block Talk Radio the impact, the influence that Block Talk Radio has on the members. I mean, people are doing Block Talk Radio shows for over a year, every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, they don't get paid. I mean, they're just doing it because it's enhancing their lives. They're able to sell more books or art or whatever it may be, or make new friends or build
right.
their friends. And there's some people are on this network getting thousands of listeners to these shows. So we know
right.
that that it's very influential, that people associated with these brands, that the brands that when they get associated with Blog Talk Radio, it's going to be very influential for them. You know, but how do you measure brand lift and so on and so forth? The other thing is that we measure all the data. I mean, we're unlike radio, we tell you how many listeners you had.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, if you want 1,000 listeners to a golf broadcast because Tom Arnold Palmer's on a show and they give you 1,000 listeners, well, Callaway,
right.
you know, they should pay a lot more money for that 1,000 listeners as opposed to, you know, a radio spot. How are you going to get 1,000 people focused on golf?
Yep.
You're going to have to buy 1% of 100,000?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So how do you quantify that, right? How do you pay, how do you charge that?
Yep.
Part of that, and we've talked about that before, is the stadium in the room concept, where the old method was reach, you know, broadcasting your message to as many people as you could possibly get it to. To take that example would be buying an ad on the Masters, you know, and it's going to be very expensive and you're going to reach lots of people who probably are interested in golf. But on the other hand, there's value, and I think marketers are starting more and more to see that value in speaking to a room full of people versus the stadium that are absolutely interested in golf. And that's, you know, we're the room. We're an engaged, intense, very loyal group of people, you know, 1,000 for this show and 1,500 for that show, that is incredibly impactful. So, you know, and I guess all of what we're talking about is getting those decision makers to see the value in that, assign a value to that, and be able to justify it in whatever terms they have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your company, so Social Vibe, well, Frank, by the way, thank you for calling. We have another call in here, so why don't we take that? So, Frank, thanks much.
You got it.
Great. Let's take another call, okay? Okay, great.
Yep.
Let's see here. 718, you're on Blog Talk.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, who's this?
This is Jason from Queens.
Hi, Jason from Queens. You have a question?
Yeah, what it do? I'm on the time, chatterboxing. Paul Wall and Book got all the paparazzi watching.
You
that's
know,
pretty good.
Joe, you know, when you're successful, when you have like people calling in like that, we're starting to get spam messages in our rooms, or in the portal pages, like MySpace almost. You know, people just
signing up. Oh, that's great.
Up,
yeah, you know,
and they're spamming out. They're like, you know, it's so funny.
Yeah. That's great.
When I saw the first spam, I said, "Okay, we're getting there.
We're getting there. You're valuable enough to put spam up on, so that I should tell advertisers something."
One of the things that we've been focused on here, again, we're talking about building community, and let's say you talk to a company like Harley Davidson, you know, they really need to build community. First of all, they're all about community. So what
right.
tools you know, what tools do they use to help facilitate community? For example, we're giving that we'd love to talk to them about having, you know, all the Harley guys, all the Harley riders have their own radio show under a Harley Davidson channel or station. You know,
yeah.
What, you know, and that just builds community, talks about the brand. You know, what are the things that you recommending these companies do?
Well, for us, it's a little bit different because, I think that's great. I think that's a great way to help your community. That would be Harley Davidson adding value to its community. I mean, they obviously have an incredibly passionate following. So any way they can enable them to do more, that's great. We think about that way for all the brands that work with Social Vibe, right? They're coming in there with the purpose of making the lives better of the members of Social Vibe, the people that they want to reach, the consumers, the brand evangelists, the members of Social Vibe. So how are they improving their lives? So if a brand comes in, and whether it's building them their own community or simply enhancing their experience with whatever community they're part of, and that, again, is part of what I was talking about before, about you can't just have Legoland. You have to go out to where other people are, right? So, yes, if I go to Legoland, that's the greatest experience I could possibly have around Legos. But it'd be great if Legos just sent me new stuff every now and then or kept me up to date on, you know, what other people are doing with Legos and things like that. All things that will enhance my experience in my other communities, so that when I'm at a dinner party, I've got conversation topics. I don't know that Legos would be the most exciting one. But so to our users, you know, the communities, you can't use the word virtual because everything's virtual online, but are more like distributed. A great brand could come on and say a Sprint could come on and say, you know what, we want to add value to your pages and be a part of your community where you are. How can we help? How can we do that? And the first step we always say is start simple. Start with great artwork. Start with something that people are going to want to share. Right? We make it easy because we automatically, every brand that's in there is automatically raising money for charity by people bringing it on their page. So you've begun to benefit their community in that way. Then we look at, all right, well, what are the things that are going to make you beyond just, so maybe the person isn't as interested in telephones, but they love NASCAR. Well, Sprint sponsored the Nextel Cup for a reason in the real world, right? They can use those same assets online. So there's a community of people who love NASCAR who now will also bring Sprint with them into whatever communities they're in without Sprint having to create a whole other one, right? So when we look at it, it's there's different pieces that you can do. The other thing that happens is there's a couple of different areas of benefiting people online and social media. So there's the self-expression, right? That's the quality of the art and the brand itself. I express myself by being an Apple fan, and I like the red one over the black one, and I like this artwork, and I like the shadows. That's self-expression. Then there's validation. The brand asked for me. The brand wanted to be on my page. The brand asked for my permission. So these are all parallel to reasons why people social network. Then you get into the more utility, the widget-focused area, which is I want community, right? Or I want some sort of functionality out of it. So if PowerBar does a countdown to my next marathon widget that I can put on my page and I can update, you know, Twitter update what I'm doing to train right now, they've added value to my community. I'll bring you with me into my social community now.
Right.
So now what do we have got self-expression, we've got validation, we have community functionality, and then there's the benefit. Do you want to send them something for free? You know, obviously economies of scale don't work out when you need, you know, 50,000 endorsers if you're sending out 50,000 free things, but maybe it's a chance to win those things. And then on top of that, you're always benefiting a charity. So there's the benefit component. And if you can appeal to all of those things, you've got a successful brand campaign.
Huge. Great. Well, we have another two callers we're going to put on. I'll put on Amy, who you've spoken to. Hi, Amy. How are you?
And, hey, guys.
And Marla. Marla Philly.
Hi,
Marla. How are you?
I'm great. I just want to say something really quick. Joe, this is Amy from Blog Talk Radio. I get your newsletter here, and I read your article, Social Media's Impact on Journalism, and it was just completely like, oh, my God, that is so on the money.
We have to get Joe on Alan's show, so thank you.
Yes.
I think I have to send him a check after this.
It was a great article. I really, really enjoyed it. But anyway, just wanted to say hello.
Hi.
Enjoy your blog.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Amy.
Let me introduce you to Marla. who you may not know, you probably don't know, but Marla runs a group called the Fly Lady. She is known as the Fly Lady, and the Fly Lady has 475,000 women in Yahoo groups, the largest Yahoo group by a magnitude of 10. Right, Marla?
Right.
And she is such a big part of Blog Talk Radio, and we've integrated. Her community is part of Blog Talk Radio now in terms of being on stations and channels and forums we launched today. So Marla called in, and I'd love to, I'm sure, had really been enjoying the conversation. Right, Marla?
It's what we talk about every day, like Frank said. How are we going to take what we do best, is create conversation and community, and get the advertisers to notice us?
Mm-hmm. And you're talking about, and here with Marla in particular, you know, 475,000 women, she sends them five, you know, they are so engaged in what she's doing and what their community is all about. How valuable is it to, you know, a huge brand to get that kind of concentrated, you know, engagement?
It's incredibly valuable. I mean, there's no two ways. It just depends on what the engagement is. Right. So if it's Marla, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If Marla was to send a message out from her brand to 475,000 women, that would have the value of an impression, basically, right? And so that's an easy calculation for most of the brands to do. If Marla actually endorsed the brand because she tried the product, she loves it, you know, that has a different value, right? It's you can stage it. But what really becomes valuable is when a brand, and this requires some impetus on the brand to take the first step, when a brand says, can put together a program, right, that's going to benefit Marla's community, and say, you know, maybe it's, I really have blanking on ideas today, but maybe a brand says, we want to engage the 475,000 people in your community to come up with ideas for XYZ. They're going to get to engage with the brand and product, not because it's all going to benefit the brand, but we want to do something that's going to benefit Marla's community. That's like a value-added campaign. And sometimes it's on us, on the network owner's side, to come up with that for the brand. So let's say you had a brand that was interested in just doing standard advertising, and you could help them come up with a creative way that you could engage the community more that would actually benefit your community. I'd say that removing the negative aspect of advertising, I think that should always be the number one goal. I mean, Google went to becoming a billion-dollar company because they realized that advertising can be relevant, right? The problem is you're not talking about informational relevancy. Just because I'm talking about shoes doesn't mean I want to see a shoe ad at that moment. But I would like, you know, someone from a shoe company to enter into the conversation and provide some value. So if you know your community and you're saying, well, if you do 475,000 impressions, I don't know what that's exactly worth to you, but I could help you come up with a campaign because I want to in my community, and your brand provides great content, your brand supports good content, it has a useful product, and you have a lot of expertise in an area, so I want to put together something that actually engages the community, right? And out of that, the value isn't going to be just a rise in your brand perception, right, which it will be, so there's a media portion of the value, but also out of that will be a feedback mechanism, a feedback loop. So what would you pay for market research, right, to know how 475,000 women feel about your brand? You know, how do they engage with it? What would they do with your marketing message if they could? You know, that's a whole different level of value that's not traditional media. Now, that's what I talked about before, in that it's not all about the distribution. It's about how you ended up at the distribution. So that's the trick to really getting the full value out of that.
Joe, let me tell you something that we have done at Fly Lady. We actually sell products on our website, flylady.net. And
okay.
We have this little product called a rubber scrubber. And it is just a rubber brush. But what we engaged our audience with is how many different things can you do with a rubber scrubber? And
right.
Every
yep.
day we get something new that says they took the rubber scrubber and got crayon off the wall. They took the rubber scrubber and got dog hair off their pants and off the couch. And
yep.
all these different ways to utilize the tool. Those testimonials sell the tools. We can't keep them in stock.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what the brands, with you know, more brands want, is that, and that's the whole, it's what we do with Social Vibe, it's what social media really comes down to, and it's why I wrote last week on an influencer versus a peer, right? The whole Gladwell-Watts discussion, is that if you can find a way to get people talking about it, then it will influence people and it will increase sales more than just a marketing message, right? And so now you can prove that with the rubber scrubber. You can say, look, here's proof that if you have a conversation, you're going to increase sales. Now, are you going to sell everything on your website? No, I mean, you're not going to buy a soda on the website or go out to dinner on the website or, you know, whatever it might be. But at the same time, you could start a conversation about a restaurant, like what was your favorite experience at, you know, this restaurant? Or what was your favorite experience about at any restaurant brought to you by this restaurant? And it's going to be more likely that the people go out to that restaurant. So you can prove it. That's your case study to show that this has, you know, a certain amount of value. And then you bring it to the brand and say, all right, well, if I can actually get people to want to buy your product more because people are talking about it and enjoying it and it's benefiting my community, right? You never do anything that detracts from it, then they'll see the value in that.
Well, not only just do they buy the rubber scrubbers, when we're out of rubber scrubbers, sales drop tremendously. Well, when we have the rubber scrubbers, our sales increase by tenfold.
Yeah.
According
yeah,
to...
Yeah, that's really great.
I think you should get those rubber scrubbers on your site too, Joe.
I'll get them up there.
I mean, that's going to create lots of increases in volume.
But I want Windex. I'm after Windex as my key sponsor. I've seen my little fly lady logo on the Windex bottle for years, and I just want to reach out to them and say, Windex, if you're listening, we would love for you to be a fly lady sponsor because I tell everybody to use Windex.
And every bathroom in the house has to have a Windex bottle underneath the sink, right, Marla?
Right.
Right. Do you anyone know anyone at Windex by any chance?
No,
right.
We're trying to get there. If I have to go there and knock on the door, you know.
Well, we're working on it, you know. But anyway, so that's fun.
Well, I'll see y'all later.
Thanks
a lot.
All
for
right, thanks,
show, Joe.
Thank
Bye.
You. One of the other areas that we've been really focused on. Well, we have the Pentagon. I don't know if you know this, but the Department of Defense uses Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Yeah, and I reached out to them about a year ago. We were doing live shows from the front lines from Afghanistan. There was an embed calling in, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. So Amy, who you spoke to earlier, who's employee number one in the company, first person actually, other than me and myself and my partner, I said, you know, please send this show of this embed out to the Pentagon. She's like, okay, sure. So sure enough, 4 hours later, we got an email back from the Department of Defense Communication Department saying, wow, this is interesting. And they created a new media department. So, you know, social media and new media is really, you know, it's getting bigger, but I think it's really transitioning into more mainstream. But isn't there a lot of education that still needs to get done with the account managers, the agencies, and, of course, the marketing directors of these companies?
Well, absolutely. I mean, It's not easy going from a mass buy to lots of campaigns where there's lots of conversations going on and capturing it all. I mean, that's the whole crux of conversational marketing and figuring out how you're going to manage that kind of media. And it really is going to come down to the people who are managing networks and who are creating the media to play a role in that. You know, it's almost like agencies become orchestrators of these things, right? Or they're conductors now rather than having to actually be producers because the conversation happens in the medium, but, you know, you can only create so much and then the rest has to be driven by people and conversation. And so that's a slightly different role. So there is a lot of education happening there. I think where I come down a little bit differently than a lot of people is that I think that this doesn't decrease the role of the agency and the media buyer. I think it increases the role. I just think it shifts the type of role. So it's going to be even more important to have an agency that you trust that can make sure that there's all these conversations happening because now it's a two-way communication. It's not, I ran a spot and it didn't get me the return I wanted, so I get a new agency. It's, there was a conversation that happened and my agency didn't stay on top of it, you know, or keep me abreast of what was going on, or didn't get me involved in a conversation I should have been in, and that's detrimental to my brand. You know, whereas a spot happened and it didn't do what it needed to do. Two-way communications being managed is much more important. So the role of the agency is I think, firmly cemented. It's just the specific job descriptions that come with that role are going to change quite a bit. And there's going to be a lot more monitoring in real time. And it has yet to play out where we're going to see where that heads in managing tens of thousands of conversations. If there's going to be a metric that we can all rest our hats on and say, the agency is managing not 50 billion impressions for you, and you're not really sure what that means, but it's managing 100,000 people involved in conversations about your brand across X number of places, and it's pulling data out of those conversations that are affecting product development and new marketing messages. That's going to be the big win, and it's going to improve the products that we use in our lives. It's going to improve the way advertising works on people's pages. It's going to remove some of the negative aspects. I mean, in Social Vibe's case, our goal is to take billions of dollars in advertising and shift a good portion of that the people earned, right? We said that people are creating the content that other people are interested in seeing and that people have the conversations that provide the value to the brands. So a portion of that money is theirs. And if they're shifting that money into charities, because on an individual basis it doesn't mean as much, but when you band together with 10,000 other people and you're raising, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month for a charity that you care about, that becomes very meaningful. And I think that's a huge shift in what advertising can be, and that's where it's headed right now.
It's amazing that you've been able to garner this amount of knowledge, and you have such. I think you're point on some of the things you're talking about.
I appreciate it.
Today, no, really, and you're not a, you know, you're a young guy. Where did you get? I mean, did you get this experience from working at Monster? I mean, where did you develop these, you know,
well,
the knowledge base?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't say that I amassed it in any one place, and I don't think it's. It's just a perception. I mean, I'll be honest. When I was in college, I was an economics and finance major. But if I thought I could have made any money as a philosophy major, I would have done that. And then I end up doing marketing. But I think that they all tie together, right? Marketing is as much an economic exercise as anything else, and understanding what motivates people. And the other side of philosophy in that, you know, figuring out where, you know, how things fit into a bigger picture, into the puzzle. And I think if you look at it really simply, like using Crayola crayons and figuring out, well, people create value, so a certain percentage of the value to them, can't figure out exactly how to divide it up, so how do we use these new systems? And not reinventing so many things, but looking at the way they've always been done. And then I just had a natural curiosity and tendency towards it. I mean, read everything I could get my hands on, and never was afraid of creating a new idea, even if it was wrong. I mean, I started writing for MediaPost 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. God, it's been a while. Every week, so every Monday night. If you guys want to picture what I'm doing, I'm sitting there struggling, figuring out what's this week's topic. And it's not hard. There's lots of ideas and lots of things that need to get talked about. But, you know, that exercise of constantly producing original thought, out of it, you know, out of a lot of it, you pull that one thing that then becomes a staple in the way you think about things. So, you know, when you sit down and you write this stuff or you do a blog talk radio or you have conversations with smart people, engaging in those conversations, and it's kind of funny because I guess this comes back to why advertising is more effective in conversation. I learned so much more through engaging in conversations with people, because your mind is getting ready to react and respond and to try to soak in what people are saying. So
I think
there's a lot to that.
Well, I see we have about 50 seconds remaining on the switchboard here, but I definitely see a Blog Talk Radio show in the future for you. You have too, too many interesting things to say, and so I want to thank you.
All right.
Joe Marchese, founder of socialvibe.com. Great conversation. People in the chat room really enjoyed it. And I have your number. I'm going to call you. I hope you don't mind.
All right, absolutely.
All right, thanks, Joe.
All right. Have a good day. Bye, Alan.
Bye. So great show. Thanks, everyone, for joining me, and have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week.
Thanks for joining Alan and Hillary on the Alan Levy Show. Make sure to join the conversation by calling 347-677-0649 and listen to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio.